You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
World of Work.
It's 12 minutes after 11 o'clock and time for our World of Work feature. And the focus today is on job scams. And I want us to have a discussion amongst ourselves, right? If you have fallen victim to a job scam, I want you to give me a call now on 011-883-0702. What happened? And how do you advise other people that may fall victim to similar scams? We know that youth unemployment levels are at an all-time high. So these scammers have a captive audience with their fake job adverts and appeals for young people to attend job fairs and interviews. And with many opportunities out there, it can really be difficult to discern legitimate job positions from fake offers from scammers. So what should you be aware of if you are looking for a job? I want us to give advices to each other because we know how hectic it is out there. There are a lot of people that are starting off this year and they're looking for a job. There are many people that have been struggling to find jobs. And the more desperate you are, the quicker you get excited about any kind of opportunities that come forth. So give me a call on 011-883-0702. Let's help each other out on the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. Have you ever fallen victim to a job scam? And how did it work? How do you advise other people? How can they be aware, right, when these opportunities come? How do they discern between fake job positions and job offers? There are a number of things that you need to be aware of. And I know if the recruiter, for instance, contacts you, you need to ask a number of questions. If you receive a job offer right away, right, if the schedule is more flexible, is the pay is extremely high, those are some of the ways you look at whether or not that job offer is legitimate. So if you have fallen victim, or maybe you haven't fallen victim, you nearly did, but this is something that you've observed. I want to hear from you. Give me a call, send me a WhatsApp voice note or an SMS on 31702. Spa, you're calling from Omaonde. Good morning.
Hi, is that for me?
Yes, Pa. How are you doing?
Hi, Cam. How are you, man?
I'm great. Go ahead.
I'm good. So, you know what? I haven't been scammed yet, right? So in the past couple of weeks, we've been talking to a Rothschild Jonathan doctor on Twitter. And I initiated the conversation because I just asked him, hey, are you able from your philanthropic trust account to fund a business? So I'm in a furniture business. And he said, DM me. And from there, we DM'd each other and then asked me all these business questions and stuff like that. Fast forward to now, just towards the end, when he was happy with the proposition and whatnot, he just asked me to, obviously on the proposition, you must have some corporate social investment page and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then he asked me to make a donation of 10,000 rand.
How?
Into some donation, into some NGO and whatnot. And this guy who called me from an NGO, of course, the guy is white and I've spoken to him on the phone.
Yeah.
The guy who's calling me from an NGO is black. And we had a conference call, all three of us, I guess, almost to legitimize the process. And then now when they're giving me the banking details, they're not sending them on a letter or anything like that. They're
yeah.
calling them on WhatsApp, giving me number. And it kind of feel uneasy and suspicious. And I really don't know how to verify this because I was so desperate for the funding for the business, considering what happened last year in July. And I even sent an email this morning to Clive to please help me verify at least the person who's going to fund us before we can actually make a payment of 10,000.
But what is the payment for, Spa? I mean, if you are the one that's requesting funding.
Yeah, so basically, according to them, it's to prove that our company has been involved in, you know, those social corporate social investments.
Yeah.
And so the guy who's going to receive this 10,000 will then be able to send us a letter confirming that, and then we can compile that with many other documents to say, here, we've been involved in these organizations, and then they can then release the funding according to them.
And you've been speaking directly with these individuals, they're not through the office. Have you Googled to check if it's legitimate? Are there other people involved, like a PA, you know, a secretary?
No. I've spoken to Dr. Rothschild on the cell phone, and the address is somewhere here in Sandhurst, in Sandton. And those are the only things. But what cool, all of these things try to find out. You can't pick up nothing.
Nothing. Maybe check out the
on Twitter.
The office. Have you checked out the office?
I did. I drove past Sandhurst, the address that is on the business card. It's a huge house, of course, I mean, with no access, and you can't really tell.
Ooh, spa. Sounds like a scam. sounds like a scam. Aye, sounds like a scam, spa. But look, I'm going to have a guest shortly who will talk you through what you should be aware of, right? What should a job spec or a job listing look like? Whether it's in SPA's case, you're looking for funding and then people suddenly want you to pay the deposit. What should you be aware of? And before I speak to Zanelli, let me play some more voice notes of you sharing your experiences on 072-702-1702.
Hi, Clement. Yeah, I think regarding this, the job offers that people fall into the trap. I work here at the hospital, and what happened last year, there was this lady who came here, and then she got the appointment letter, and then watching the emblem on that thing, it was written our hospital and the Netcare on the side. So she paid around 3.5, and then she went to Mashonisa, and she was given the money. And then on the appointment letter, it is stated that she should start work on that particular day. And when he arrives at the security, and then only to find there was no such thing. And then she was sitting there at the gate throughout the day. So people must be aware that the government job, you only are only advertised, not on Facebook. Never on Facebook. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you. I'll take more of your experiences on WhatsApp and through the calls as well. Zanele Luvuno is the MD of Transcend Talent Management and joins us on the line. Zanele, good morning.
Good morning, Clement, as well as your listeners. My apologies, you have not been able to get through.
No worries. So high youth unemployment is a reality for us, and scammers are taking advantage of that. What should a job spec or a job listing look like?
I think any job spec or any listing should first and foremost have the company logo and company information. You should then be able to correlate the information that is there with their particular website. So if I list Transcend Talent Management or I list my particular business and you go and you search for it and it's unsearchable and the page has no website or anything like that, I think that's the first telltale sign. The second one is that it would have obviously then the description of the role. Sometimes it will have what they're paying for the role. If the salary is too high or if the salary and the credentials of what is required don't match, it's usually a scam. So they're really just trying to bait people to respond. Then you also would have the contactable person. Very easy to check the address of the recruiter. The domain name should match the domain name of the company that they're representing. So I can't say that I'm with Eskom, but then when I list my contact details, it's Eskom with two M's at the end, for instance, or Eskom something something else, so the domain name must match the company website name, and it must match to the recruiter or the individual whose details are there. The other thing I think is to look out for generic email addresses. Right? So if suddenly it's a Yahoo address or a Gmail address, or again going back to the email matching domain names, I don't think that I would trust those. So really it's domain name, company information, the details of the role, the qualifications of the role, as well as a contact person that can be contacted for that particular piece of work.
You know, and I understand, Zanele, that there are certain things that you have to look out for. But I imagine sometimes for people that are desperate, the fact that Eskom's is spelled incorrectly is not going to somehow raise red flags. Because I'm, first of all, excited that here's an opportunity. And I want to send in my application. I want to comply with whatever is required on my side because I'm just desperate for this job. Is there a way? Is there recourse for the people that they missed some of those red flags and they now have been scammed? What is it that they can do?
So from a sort of recruitment drive perspective, I mean, if they're purporting to represent a particular company, right, I think the best you can do is to report it to the organization that they say they're representing, because then they can create some kind of alert around it, their system. They would then be in a position to potentially seek out the criminals that are impersonating them and kind of find justice, around that, or use the legal system around that particular piece. I think that sometimes they ask, and I tend to think that they go for guys that are, it's easy to get the younger people, they're naive, and inspiration, like you said, plays a huge part in it. And this isn't just a recruitment scam. If you think about what they talk about, the 419 scam, you have money sitting in a pension fund, 1 million, but in order to unlock it, I need this. You know, they target desperate people. So if anybody's asking you to pay up front for any of those types of services, don't do it. It is absolutely free. Recruitment, whether it's a learnership program, whether it's any of those things, the people are getting paid by the client to go and do the sourcing. There's absolutely no need. But so the only thing you can really do, if somebody's made you pay some kind of money or you've lost in a particular way, is to then go to the police station. I would go to the police station anyway, though, by just as a matter of course, because they would by that stage probably have your CV, your ID document, photograph of you, all types of personal information that they can go and do anything with in a data-driven economy. So open bank accounts, fake passports, all sorts of things. So I would probably want to go to the police station and report those things anyway.
Yeah, and I suppose there's also a responsibility on our part when we are getting these job opportunities and we pass them on to people without doing the relevant checks as well, because it often happens a lot, right? On our WhatsApp groups, we put up these job offers and we haven't done the necessary work ourselves. So people may fall into scams because we've also failed in somehow checking whether that is a legitimate post. I want to play some voice notes, Zanele, coming through. Okay. And I want us to also talk about how you can possibly regulate this. Is there anything else that can be done? Far apart from you, when you pick up that something is wrong, you go to the police or notify the relevant company. Is there anything else that can be done? Here are the voice notes that have come through so far.
The advice I can give people is just when you get a response from the company that you've applied for, always look for like a landline number. This thing of using phones, maybe if you want to call them, they've got phone numbers. Sometimes it might be alarming, but not always. But landline numbers for them, for you to call them back, is more legitimate for me.
Good morning, it's Tumelo here. I'd advise the first thing to look out for, usually when a scammer calls you for a recruitment position, or rather to recruit you, would be that they would ask you to deposit or come with cash to the interview, and also not necessarily disclosing the position and just saying that there's several positions that we are looking at, just come through and we will see. You have to look out for that as well.
Hi, Clement. So it's not only these job advertisements, right, that are a problem, but the study opportunities to overseas. And my sister was robbed 12,000 rand last year with that store.
Good afternoon, Clement. I'm from Randburg. Clement, with regards to fake job posts having the correct domain name, just remember that people are more clever than just creating a domain name with Eskom that is spelled incorrectly. They will create a domain name, for example, eskomjobs.co.za or eskomjobs.com or Eskom job applications. So yes, for the domain name, absolutely make sure you've got the correct one. But keep in mind, people are more clever than just simply creating a domain name with Eskom spelled incorrectly, as an example.
Yeah, thank you so much for your voice notes. Zanele, any regulation around this?
So I'll come to that in a bit. Can I just maybe very, very quickly address some of what was brought up in the voice notes? So I think the first one, absolutely, they can be clever. Some checks and balances around domain name. Call the company and see if the person works there. The second thing, so that goes back to the landline issues, but I've got a comment on the landline issue. The second thing, check for a public profile, a LinkedIn profile or anything like that. It should have the company information. So it's ways to begin to start to manage your risk in these situations. But when it comes to landlines, a lot of organizations, the people are working from home at the moment and there are no landlines that you can reach them on. And we know this because we headhunt. It's incredibly difficult to find people. And I just wanted to leave a note that I don't want people to think that if somebody doesn't have a landline, it's not legitimate, because they, you know, I don't want people to lose out on a potential opportunity that could be real for them, so long as they check out all these other pieces that we've spoken about.
Yeah, and then on the regulation?
So I think because it's relatively new, or the degree to which we're seeing it is relatively new, it's a little bit like cybercrime. And so it's quite difficult to regulate. I think that you're dealing with criminals that are identity theft in a way. So I'm not really sure how the government starts to regulate, because it's not an industry per se, right? You're regulating criminals. So what can happen is maybe government regulation around how organizations should present a job, right? And then if it's not presented in that way, then it can be an immediate red flag to people looking for a job. So for instance, it's become law on some platforms and in some countries that they have to put salaries next to jobs. And this is like in the last couple of months. So if the government starts to be stricter on those types of measures on the corporates themselves, then there can be checks and balances that individuals can then utilize to be able to mitigate risk.
Yeah, otherwise then it's really the responsibility of the police, and maybe form a task team if you have to be focusing on these scams, because a lot of people are losing money, a lot of people that are desperate out there for jobs. But it's also our responsibility to be extra careful, like Zanele has been telling us, and the tips that are coming from some of the listeners. Look out really for these job specs, right? Look out for the silly, simple mistakes, you know, when you're being asked to pay money in order to attend a job interview or to get the job. Those are some of the red flags you need to identify. So it's not just the police, but we also need to do some extra work so that we are not easily scammed. Thank you, Zanele Luvuno, who is the MD of Transcend Talent Management.